Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit Alive Network, your transformation station. And this is the Faith Cafe, and I'm your host, Evangelist Joyce Carpenter. Thank you so much for tuning in on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Praise God, and let each and every one of us rejoice and be glad in it. Praise God that we have another day to give God praise and give him the glory, and another day that we can let our light shine unto others and witness the wonderful work and power of God unto others. Praise God, praise God. Father, we just thank you for this day that you have made. Thank you, Father God, for who you are in our lives, Father God. I thank you because you are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. You're the first and you're the last. And Father, we thank you. You're everything in between. And we thank you, Lord, that you are our healer, Jehovah Rapha, our healer, and you are Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. You all that we need you to be, and we thank you, Father God. There is no other God like you. And Father, as I minister forth the oracles of you, I decrease as you increase. And I ask the Holy Ghost that would stand up bold in me to declare your wonderful working power of the Word of God, and that this Word would change lives, Father God. They would be transformed, Father God, from glory to glory in the name of Jesus Christ. And we give you the thanks and give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Going to continue part two of last days before Jesus returns, which part one was last week, and the foundation scripture is 2 Timothy 3:1, and that scripture reads, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. And that means difficult times, troubled times, distressful times, just super stressed. But these days are coming. And Jesus has warned us, and we went through that last week. Matthew, what the signs there that are there that you will see, letting you know we're approaching the last days to his return. So let's look further at 2 Timothy 3:2-5. Says verse 2, beginning at verse 2, for men shall be lovers of themselves, covetousness, boastfulness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedience to parents, unthankful, and unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontentment, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, high-minded, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power of it. From such turn away. Okay. And we see here he's saying men have become lovers of themselves, and we see here in this world that people just, you don't have to really go very far, and you just see the self-centeredness, you know, of people. You know, they loving themselves, and it's nothing wrong with loving yourself. But you should not love yourself more than you love God and more than you love others. Because when it's that way, you become self-centered. You know, everything is all about you. And when it's that way, people don't really care about who they step on, who they walk on. They don't care. It's all about what they want. It's self-centeredness. So it's not saying that you shouldn't love yourself, but loving God and loving others. Loving money and wealth, you know, and we see that. because of greed. You know, greed is running rampant, and everybody wants to be a millionaire. They want to be wealthy, and I'm not, and it's nothing again wrong with that either. But the sin in that is wanting wealth. It's not the sin in the wanting wealth, but when what you do to obtain that wealth. And if you, people are doing things illegally, and like I mentioned, walking on people, or people abuse others, take advantage of others just so they can get wealth. We see that all the time. Many are in prison behind this very thing. So, and but God gives us, he said, the power to get wealth. But when he gives us that power to get wealth and we get wealth, then that wealth should be used in the kingdom of God. I mean, we can use it for others, our family, be able to help our family and all those, our loved ones and those that need it. But we should be able to help further the kingdom of God and help those that need it. So wealth is not just for me and mine and that's it. So having money is not a sin. Being wealthy is not a sin. The sin of it is what we do with it and how we obtain in the wealth. And the scripture said arrogant. You know, they will be arrogant. People are arrogant, and we see a lot of arrogant people around, you know, and children disobedient unto their parents. All these things we see, you know, and children rising up against their parents, just like they're talking to their enemy or talking to a friend. You know, back in my day, that didn't happen. I mean, you talk to the parents crazy, you know, you end up getting knocked out or getting slapped real hard. And they call that, back then, they didn't call child abuse. They call it child abuse now. But praise God. But all of this where parents rising, children rising up against their parents, you know. So all of these things are you know, he said they would take place, you know, in the last days. And he talks about the men, people not having men, and that includes women as well, without natural affection. You know, they're troublemakers. They really have no morals. You know, loving pleasures more than God, and more than they love pleasures, more than they love God. And they love the vain things that are vain, that are worthless, that are not, because only what you do for Christ is what's going to matter when Jesus calls you home. That's all that's going to matter. Nothing else will. And like the saying used to say, I would hear saying, there's no, when you pass away, there's not going to be a U-Haul truck or an armored car following the hearse down to the cemetery. So all these possessions here you cannot take with you. It's all what you do for Christ. Okay, and these things, he said, another thing will happen. And here in verse 5, and it's talking about having a form of godliness. You know, that piety, kind of piety spirit, I call it, just pious. You know, people in churches and in a church just because of an obligation, you know, I call it religious. It's just religious spirit. They're in a church just because of obligation. You know, your parents may have grown up in that particular church or that particular church denomination or your family, and you there because my family grew up in this church. My family is a part of this church for many generations, and I'm here, you know, and I'm staying here, and I'm not going nowhere. Now, are you following the word of God, or are you following religion? Because there's no power here. The scripture says, 5, it says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power And that's so many of churches where they're following all the religious beliefs, the rules, the do's and the don'ts, but there's no power of the Holy Ghost in operation there. They're just following a church doctrine, you know, that the particular church have made as their church doctrine. But there's no power in it. There's no power. There's no power to save people, but people come and they may accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, or they may say they join in the church, but there's no power there to bring, the power of the Holy Ghost is not there, you know, to bring conviction to them, you know, or to bring correction. So these things we see are going on, you know, that there's religious Pharisaical spirit, you know, in churches with a lot of do's and don'ts, but yet no spirit, okay? Because they are strangers, you know, to the power of God, and they're strangers because they chose to reject the power of God. So in the Word of God tells us, it tells us over to avoid such people. Verse 5, it says, avoid them, turn away from them, you know? Turn away those people you don't want to be associated with, okay? Because association brings about assimilation, that we always would say. So you don't want to associate yourselves with such a ones that have rejected the power of God, because they don't have any power. You continually associate yourself, you know, that's going to rub off on you. A scripture says evil communication corrupt good manners. So you don't want to continually get involved there and being a part of something that is not scriptural, you know, and if it goes against the Word of God, you want to remove yourself. So recognize these signs, you know. He says recognize and having a form of godliness but denying the power of it. So you want to dismiss yourself, okay, because there's nothing good going to come of that. Praise God. Let's look at Acts chapter 2. Now, we talked about what's going to happen, these things that's going to happen in the last days, and, you know, and some people, that brings fear, but we should not fear. Anything we should draw closer unto God. Because that means he's soon to come. He's going to come back for his church, for his people. And these are some awesome things that's going to happen in the last day that God will do. Let's look at Acts chapter 2, verse 17. Acts 2 and verse 17. Now, the prophet Joel, God spoke to the prophet Joel and showed him what was going to happen in the last days, that he was pouring out his spirit. And this is the same scripture here that here in Acts that they're speaking of over in Joel 2:28. Verse 17 of Acts chapter 2 reads, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, said God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and upon my handmaids, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs of the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and noble day of the Lord come." Praise God. Okay. Now he's saying here, that I will pour out my spirit, meaning God said he's going to pour out his spirit. That's the power of the Holy Ghost upon his all mankind. And he said, when that will happen, my sons, my daughters, they shall prophesy. Okay, and shall is a covenant word. In the Jewish culture, it is a covenant word, shall. They shall prophesy, meaning they will be telling the divine counsel of God. Young men, he said, they'll see visions, meaning divine granted appearances. They will see divine granted appearances of God. They will see that, okay, seeing visions. And he says the old men or older men will dream dreams, and the dreams that they will dream, they will be divine suggested dreams as of God, from God also. He said, and on all men servants and maid servants, he will pour out his spirit, meaning God pour out his spirit, the spirit, the Holy Ghost, upon them. Praise God. And the Holy Ghost, his spirit, is power. Where they are divine, again, they will tell the divine counsel of God and predicting the future events that's pertaining to God's kingdom. You know, just as he did with Isaiah prophesied so many things and several things, several passages in the book of Isaiah, he prophesied of the coming of Jesus, how he would come, and calling his name Wonderful Counselor, and coming that he would save his people from their sins. So God used prophets to prophesy all down through time, and they said what God said for them to say, you know, which is the future events, he said, pertaining to God's kingdom. So, and he said, I will, meaning God. God said, I will show wonders in the sky, signs in the earth, and beneath. The blood, the fire, the smoking vapor, okay? The sun turned into blood. Now, I believe it was last year where there was a blood moon, okay? And that rarely happens, but I didn't get a chance to see that, but I remember that coming out. It was out, and I could say I didn't see it. But the sun turned into blood. The sun turned into blood, and then here where we see a blood moon. So when God's spirit is poured out, great things happen, okay? God's spirit, meaning that's God's DNA, and he pours out his spirit in abundance, okay? And God's DNA makes up his DNA is love and his kindness. So all that will be poured out, and joy. It's great and mighty things happen, you know, when the Holy Ghost is poured out. Back in the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost poured out upon them, they were all on one accord, all in one place, and began to speak with other tongues, and there was joy. They spoke with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave them utterance. There was joy in that place. Hallelujah. So when the Spirit of God comes in, the Holy Ghost is poured out, great and mighty things happen. Miracles begin to happen. You know, of course, number one, joy. You're going to be full of joy. And the miracles happening, healing, deliverance, everything needs being met. All these things happen when the Spirit of God comes in, okay? When God's Spirit is poured out. And when it's poured out, it's just poured out in such, he said, abundance. It's just abundantly poured out where you just can't really contain. Praise God. And you'll be happy, excited, know something is happening there in your life, but you don't know what's going on. But because all you're feeling is just happiness and this joy, and you just feel overwhelmed. But when the Spirit of God comes in, when the Holy Ghost is poured out, it is joy. Hallelujah. So, and this is not the time, again, to back down. This is the time for us to refuel, refire, and continue on. The race is not given to the swift, neither to the strong, but for the one that endureth till the end. Praise God. So don't get weary. The Word of God tells us not to be weary in well-doing. We shall reap if we faint not. And Isaiah tells us that he gives strength to those that are weak, and those that have no power, he give might. Praise God. So you feel like you just can't endure in the race, go to the Lord, ask him for that strength that you need to endure, and he will give you that strength for you to endure, because we don't want to give up. We see the signs of Jesus is returning, and he said in the last days also there will be a great falling away. And so many are falling away from the faith because they feel like that they can't endure. They just can't, and they just refuse, you know, to do what's necessary to be able to continually be in the race. Because in order to stay in the race, you have to be willing to do what is necessary for you to end. For you to end and finish the race, to finish your course. And we want to be able to finish our course. Hallelujah. Because the Word said that we have, you know, we have stored up for us treasures in heaven. And we want to endure to receive that crown of life and those treasures in heaven that God has promised unto his people. Again, the race is not given to the swift nor to the strong, but it's given to the one who endured to the end. And no matter what it takes, endure till the end. God has great things. He is soon to come back for his church. And he's coming back for his church, a church that doesn't have a spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. He's coming back for his people. Praise God. And this is all I have for you today. And we'll tune in next week. Praise God. And God is good. And his mercy endures forever. And we praise God for his goodness unto us. And I just would like to thank each and every one of you that are listening in, and the faithful listeners here in the studio, Facebook, and all, just for you, and thank God for you. And my prayer always is that your life is impacted by the Word of God, where you are inspired, you know, to get in there and study God's Word. And that it impacts you so much till you would want to change if your things that you need to change in your life, that you would change and you would just grow from glory to glory, that you would be transformed by the power of God. So I pray the Word of God will impact you so. Praise God. So I want to leave you with 1 John 5:4, one of my favorite scriptures, that whoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. I've been your host, Evangelist Joyce Carpenter, and from all of us here, until next time, from all of us here at the Spirit Alive Network, I say be ye transformed. And have a blessed evening. Good night.